Psalm 119, verses 9 through 26. I'm sorry, Psalm 119, 9 through 16. And we looked at the same passage last Sunday, but the thing is, last Sunday we mainly focused on just one verse, the first verse, verse 9. So today I'd like to focus on the rest of the verses, in verses 9 through 16. Please give your attention to the reading of God's holy word. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of our God stands forever. Father God, we thank you for this beautiful song. And once again, we ask for your wisdom, and we ask that the Holy Spirit might teach us from the pulpit. We ask that the Holy Spirit may speak through today's speaker, that the speaker may in no way hinder his ministry, but grant clarity, grant an accurate reading and explanation of your inspired word. We know that your word is your breath, and through this divine breath, you minister unto us. You change us, and you mold us, and you convict us and encourage us so that we may become more and more like Jesus Christ. Father, we desire to become more like him. We yearn to become more like him. We're so sick and tired of our sins, and we know that our sins misshapen us. They disfigure us. But God, we thank you for your faithfulness. You began a good work, and you will bring that good work to completion. That is the promise that we have, and we pray that this morning through your word, you might continue that redemptive work in each of our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Cal Newport, he's an author, but a while back, he's a very smart guy. He graduated from Dartmouth College. And after that, he went on to earn his doctorate, his PhD from MIT. And he wrote this book, and the title is How to Be. Young people, pay attention. How to Be a High School Superstar. And the subtitle goes, A Revolutionary Plan to Get into College by Standing Out. He has also written other books, and those titles are, they're also how-to books, How to Win at College, and How to Become a Straight-A Student. And I haven't read this book, and to be honest with you, I'm not going to read it. I just really needed a sermon illustration, so I loaned it from the library. But let me share with you something that I saw in the table of contents. And he begins in the introduction by pointing out Stanford doesn't take students with B's. Right? No way. Stanford does not admit students with B's on their report cards. And then in part one, he talks about the law of underscheduling. And he advises, pack your schedule with free time. Use this time to explore. Then in part two, he talks about the law of focus. And he says, master one serious interest. Don't waste your time on unrelated activities. And lastly, part three, the law of innovation. Pursue accomplishments that are hard to explain, not hard to do. And, you know, it sounds like very interesting tips and advice. But the thing is, I wonder, does this author also address in this how-to book the important why questions? How-tos, of course, they're very important. But we also need to think about the big why questions. As in, why should you want to be a high school superstar? Why do you want that so badly? Now, of course, many people may think the answer to that is really obvious. Of course, to get into an amazing college. But then why should you want to get into an amazing college? And people might reply, of course, to get into an amazing grad school. But then why do you want to go to grad school? Why is that important to you? For a successful career. But then another why question. Why are you aiming for a successful career? What am I asking for? And what I'm asking for is this. What is the ultimate end, the chief end, where all the why questions come to an end? That's what I'm asking for, ultimately. What is the chief end that people should be striving for? The ultimate end that is not some means to an end. And when you look at today's song, the song that I just read in Psalm 10, the psalmist is telling us what his ultimate end is. And he says, with my whole heart, I seek you. And what is he telling us there? He's telling us the triune God. Fellowship with the triune God. He is the ultimate end. The triune God is never some means to a better, higher, and more desirable end. To use a Latin phrase, though I don't know Latin, he is the summum bonum, meaning he is the highest goal. He is always the highest good. And what you need to see is that this text is also a how-to. Did you notice that in verse 9, the first verse? The psalmist asks, how can a young man keep his way pure? How can we have pure hearts that are purely devoted to aiming for God? That's the question, the how-to question I want us to think about. How can our hearts be mastered and ruled by the law of focus? The law of focusing on God single-mindedly and pursuing after Him. This text is a how-to for those who have been brought in for fellowship with God through their faith in Jesus Christ. And for the remainder of the sermon, I want us to cover four how-tos. Four how-tos. And I hope that you'll pay attention to these. And the reason why is because God promises you in Scripture, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for Him, for they shall be satisfied. If you belong to Jesus Christ, your pursuit of God is never in vain. And so with belief, with strong belief in that promise, I want us to look at four things today. And the first how-to we see in verse 12. And the first how-to is to praise God. Begin your pursuit of Him by praising Him. Look at verse 12. The psalmist cries out, blessed are you, O Lord. Or blessed are you, O Yahweh. Teach me your statutes. Or teach me your word. And you know, there's something so deeply personal about this. This young man is crying out and he reaches out to his God and he addresses his God by his personal name. Did you notice that? Whenever you see the capitals L-O-R-D in the Old Testament, you should be thinking God's personal name, Yahweh or Jehovah. And when this young man thought about Yahweh, it's so evident. His heart was filled and overwhelmed with praise and thanksgiving. And what was the reason for that? Because Yahweh had so generously and graciously spoken to him. Yahweh had reached out to him and given him his word. And his word, Yahweh's word, is the key to having fellowship with Yahweh. Look at verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to Yahweh's word. And the psalmist, who was in possession of Yahweh's gracious word, He is yearning in the song to grow in his understanding of that word. And that's why he cries out, "Blessed are you, O Yahweh. Teach me your statutes. Teach me your scripture. Teach me your word." And the point is, the application is, you need to believe and you need to see that Yahweh has also reached out to you. Do you realize that? Yahweh has also given you His Word, just like the psalmist. He also desires to have fellowship with you, except, I have to point this out, except it's mind-boggling to think that Yahweh, has given you more, even more than this psalmist. To you, He has given you both the Old and the New Testament. Yes, He also desires to have fellowship with you, but He desires to have fellowship on an even deeper level. You see, the psalmist who wrote in the time of the Old Testament, yes, he did receive the gospel, but he received the gospel of the Savior who was to come in the distant future. That's what he got. That's what Yahweh gave him generously. But how about you? And how about me? Do you realize that we have received the gospel of Jesus Christ, who already came, died, lived, rose again, and now reigns from heaven? And that's the reason why when you turn to the book of Hebrews opens with these words. Listen to these important words. It's illuminating our spiritual eyes so that we may see that the privilege that we have in Jesus Christ is even greater than the privilege of the psalmist. And the opening of the book of Hebrews is this: long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days meaning the days in between Jesus' ascension and His second coming, in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. Church, it is staggering to think that Yahweh reached out to you His hand of fellowship, and He has given you even more. He has given you more than Asaph, than King David, Samuel, and all the other psalmists, because He desires fellowship with you even more. My freshman year, some of you may not know this, I lived in the same dorm as the great Tom Brady. And it's old news for most of you, but when I tell people that, people kind of freak out and they say, "Oh my goodness, did you see him? Did you ever talk to him?" But the thing is, back then, like around 20 years ago, he wasn't that famous. He wasn't even the biggest star on campus. He wasn't that big a deal. In fact, there was another athlete, a basketball player, a tractor trailer, and he was far more famous. And one early morning, I was going somewhere, I was walking, and I see tractor trailer walking towards me. He was walking in the opposite direction. I saw him with his varsity jacket, and yeah, I was pretty starstruck. He kept getting bigger and bigger as he approached me, and finally, I reached out to him, and I said, "Hey, tractor trailer." But for some reason, and I still don't know, tractor trailer, he just kind of glanced at me, and without saying anything, he just kept walking. Now, to be fair, I thought in the past, you know, maybe he's not a big morning person. It was really early in the morning. Maybe that's why. I also thought maybe he had this crazy encounter with some crazy fan. But I also wondered, and I still wondered, did he just glance at me and not say anything and just pass me by because he was thinking, "I am tractor trailer. I am Michigan basketball, so do not talk to me, you anonymous person." And the point is, do you realize Yahweh is greater than tractor trailer? Yahweh, your God, He's even greater than the great Tom Brady, and yet he's the one, Bible says, he's the one who reached out to you first. He's the one who took hold of you. And when you were dead in your sins, he called you effectually. He spoke to you the word of the gospel. He is the one who introduced himself to you. My name is Yahweh, and I am the Lord, your God. And on top of that, he has given you the most priceless gift. He has given you his word. He has given you the Bible. And in his word, he continues to speak. And through his word, he continues to have fellowship with his sons and daughters. Do you realize the privilege that you have been given? So what's the first how-to, the first application? And that is to praise Yahweh. Won't you do that? Won't you praise him? And won't you press on to know him more deeply and more intimately? The second how-to, how to keep our hearts mastered by the law of focus. How to keep our hearts single-mindedly aiming for God throughout our days. And the second how-to we see in verse 11. And we see in verse 11 that we need to store up Yahweh's word deep in our hearts. Or to use the NIV translation, we need to hide Yahweh's word deep in our hearts. And I want us to think about that. What does it mean to store up or to hide Yahweh's word deep in the heart? When you go grocery shopping, when you go food shopping, sometimes you buy food that you use right away, immediately. Sometimes you buy food that you put on the table right away after you come back from shopping for people to see, eat, and enjoy. But isn't it also true that other items that you buy from the supermarket, you put into storage? You place inside the cabinet or the pantry, and there they may hide for many days before you ever use them. And isn't it great when you open up the cabinet sometimes and you realize that you don't have to go out and buy something for your recipe because it's already there? Oh, look, honey, there's plenty of lentils, or there's plenty of rice. Sometimes, when you're feeding on the word of the Lord, it's delicious and it's nutritious right away, immediately. It's like the food that you go out and buy and you use right away. You hear a sermon that speaks to you so powerfully. Or you open up to a Bible passage during private or family worship, and it really hits home for you. But at the same time, you have to remember, you also need other spiritual food that you put into storage. You also need other spiritual food that goes inside the cabinet, and those items will hide there, and you may not use immediately, right away. I think about a pastor named John Payne. He's a PCA pastor, another PCA pastor down in Charleston, South Carolina. And when he was a very young child, he did grow up in a Christian home. He grew up in a very devout and nurturing Lutheran home. And in his family, they drilled Luther's shorter catechism into him. Week after week, his parents and teachers drilled him. And so he had to practice and memorize. He had to study. Nothing terribly exciting. And for a long time, nothing seemed to happen. He didn't come to faith in Christ until his sophomore year in college. But his sophomore year, he got into a bad car accident. And actually, he was responsible for that. He had been driving drunk. And so after the accident, he found himself sitting in a local jail. But in that jail cell, the Holy Spirit came to him, and the Holy Spirit called him effectually. In that jail cell, all the things that he had learned long time ago, it came back with freshness and with clarity and with power. You see, what had happened was over the years, through the biblical truths that were being stored up, what the Holy Spirit was doing was the Holy Spirit was moving all the furniture into place. And in that jail cell, the Holy Spirit had switched on the light for him. That's how he came to know the Lord. The Holy Spirit used the hidden, stored word. And that reminds me of another story that Pat Canavan shared with us. Pat Canavan is a ruling elder at 10th Presbyterian, and he visited our church a couple weeks ago to talk to our Sunday school staff. And he knows a man who had a very similar upbringing. This other man also, as a young boy, he also had to memorize and practice the answers to questions like, what is sin? Who is the Redeemer of God's elect? What is repentance unto life? What is faith? And the thing is, the Holy Spirit switched on the light for him when he was a soldier flying into combat during World War II. That's when the Spirit called him effectually. He was on a plane and he was looking around him, and he saw other grown-up men, other soldiers, just melting, breaking down, weeping. They were panicking, but in a very quiet moment, all the things that had been stored up came back to him with power and with clarity. And once again, the Spirit used the stored, hidden word. Church, are you in the habit of storing up and hiding the Word of God deep in your heart? You see, the vast majority of the time when you encounter and experience God's Word, it's not going to be terribly exciting. Whether that be sermons or your daily times of spending, daily times of reading the Word, you can't be discouraged and give up if it doesn't seem all that spectacular. But with consistency, diligence, and faithfulness, you need to keep hiding. You need to keep storing, and the Spirit will use the hidden, stored word to enrich your fellowship with God. The third how-to. And I want us to think about meditation. The third how-to we see in verse 15. And this young man resolves in his heart, I will meditate on your precepts. I will meditate on your word. And what does it mean to meditate? And we see here that to meditate means you got to concentrate. You can't be flippant when it comes to God's word. You got to focus on God's word. And you see that in the second line of verse 15. He clarifies what meditation is: to fix your eyes on Yahweh's ways. You fix your eyes on the word of the Lord. So you got to be like that person in the museum who sits in front of a masterpiece painting. This person sits there and gazes at the painting for 30 minutes or an hour or even more. You can't be like your pastor at MoMA, just going from one painting to another every 10 seconds, and he's done after like 45 minutes. Now, God's exhorting us. He is commanding us. You have to meditate. You need to savor the word of the Lord. Think about the fact that Psalm 119 is an acrostic. Did you notice that? In each section, you have the Hebrew alphabet. It's an alphabetical poem. So today's section, every line in today's section in verses 9 through 16 begins with the Hebrew alphabet Beit. And I know you can't notice that in the English translation, but when you look at the original, that's noticeable immediately. And why did God give the psalmist an alphabetical poem? Because it was meant to be memorized. It was meant to be meditated on. Through constant practice and rehearsal, the word was meant to be digested very slowly, because that was how you were going to unlock all of its nutrients and its power. So the word of the Lord is like fine, expensive wine. You don't just chug on fine, expensive wine, but you sip it slowly. You take in the aroma. You swirl it around your mouth. And then on TV shows, you see people pausing and they talk about it to other people. And you sit once again. I think there's great value in reading the scripture once a year, every year. That's a that's something I do. You read it pretty rapidly from Genesis to Revelation, and when you do that, you get a good bird's eye view of what the Bible's about from the beginning to the end. But at the same time, there's also great value in meditation. Are you in the habit of meditating on the word of the Lord as you pursue after your God single-mindedly and wholeheartedly? You select a shorter passage and you camp out on that passage for an extended period of time. And you do that either by memorizing, or I know a friend who reads the same chapter every single morning for 30 days. Yeah, Matthew 10 again and again for 30 days. And it may seem boring when I say that, but he has shared with me that it really unlocks and opens up the scripture in amazing ways. Or another way of meditating is by getting a good, devotional, but biblical and solid commentary. And you devote several months going through one book of the Bible with the commentary. There are different ways that you can meditate on God's Word. Whatever way you choose, whatever way works for you, won't you meditate on Yahweh's voice? Won't you meditate on Yahweh's gift? He will use it to enrich your fellowship with Him. And the last point is this. Let me end today with delight. Delight. Did you notice that this section ends with strong delight? Verse 14. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. Then in verse 16. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Church, won't you praise your God, store up His word, and meditate on His precepts, knowing that your Father's good goal is to bring you such delight. He wants to bring you the highest and the best delight. This past week was a milestone for our family. Our oldest son, Owen, he just turned 6. And this week, I took him out on a lunch date. No mommy, no younger brother. Just one-on-one, just me and him. And it was great because I took him to an Indian buffet. And I believe it's only the second time he ever went to an Indian buffet, because the first time we went a couple years back, I mean, it was just, he couldn't enjoy anything. The spice just overwhelmed him. The food was just way too intense. But this time, last week when we went, during the meal, he turns to me and he says, "Daddy, would you give this 5 stars? And I said, "You know what? I would give it 5 stars. This is pretty good." And then he says to me, "I would give it 10 stars. And you know, that made me so happy. That really made my week. And you know why? It dawned on me that as my son is getting older, he's able to enjoy and appreciate the higher pleasures, the higher delights of life. No more baby food, none of that. That's behind him. But he's able to know the exquisite delight of eating butter chicken, palak paneer, vindaloo, not yet, but you know, he'll get there. But he's able to enjoy all of these things, the higher pleasures. And I want you to think about something else, something sorrowful. I want you to think about those people who don't know Jesus Christ in this world. Think about them. And I want you to think about them because their summum bonum, their highest goal, and their highest good cannot be fellowship with God. They cannot have that. Because Scripture says, without Jesus Christ, you are still dead in your sins and you have no capacity to taste and see that the Lord is so good. You can't have that in your life. And so as a result, their summum bonum has to be something else. And for some people in our world, that is worldly wealth and riches. When this psalmist says there's a higher delight that far surpasses all earthly riches. Verse 14. for other people who don't know Jesus Christ, their summum bonum has to be attaining superstar status in their workplaces or their classrooms, because they can't have God. When God is telling us here that there is a much greater delight, which makes all the lesser pleasures seem like bland baby food, that's all they have. But God is pointing out this morning, you, your Father has selected for fellowship with Him. You have divine fellowship through your faith in Jesus Christ. He has chosen you for the highest pleasure of all. That is the privilege that you have been given. So in view of His amazing grace, the amazing priceless gifts that He has given you, I want you to praise Yahweh, store up His word deep within, and want you also meditate on His precepts. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Let's ask Him to help us to apply these things. Lord, we want to love You not in some lukewarm fashion. We want to love You with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our minds, with all of our strength. You did not save us to be in a lukewarm marriage with You. But You love us with a love that surpasses understanding. And every single day we are trying by Your grace to catch up to You, although we know that we'll never catch up. But at the same time, we ask that we would grow in our devotion, that we would be the pure bride of Christ. Keep us from divided hearts, divided allegiances, divided affections. Make us single-minded. Make us people marked by zeal. And we pray these things. And I pray that as we respond to Your word this morning by singing Psalm 119, that the words that we sing might be the cry of our hearts. And we ask that You would listen and You would respond by molding Your hearts to be more like Jesus Christ, who loved the Father so single-mindedly. Make us more like Him. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.